in what we're talking about tonight, I feel like we'd need to probably go through the whole thing, which is obviously impossible. Like Matt said last week, we're just touching and scratching the surface, really. It's a wonderful thing, the Trinity, but we, to even scratch the surface would be amazing. Ultimately, it's God, and he's given us so much that we can actually spend time in looking at his word, and it's just wonderful. I mean, I was a little concerned, when I was asked to talk tonight. Sorry if I keep spinning, I'm on a winding chair. I was a little concerned when Sim first mentioned it to me, because from trying to teach the Trinity at youth club and Firex on numerous occasions, understanding the complicatedness of it, it's a worrying to talk on one aspect on the Trinity, as in Jesus, was concerning me. I thought, how can you possibly do it without going into depth into the others, into the Father and the Holy Spirit? But Sim reassured me, and it's true. We can talk about Jesus without overstepping the mark or talking the other parts of the Trinity. But they are combined, and they are all God. And it's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. Like Matt said last week, there's loads of analogies that we can use. I think egg's one of them that we used to go through. Egg yolk and shell was all an egg, but all different parts of the egg. And what was the other one? Water, gas, sort of vapor, water and ice. That, again, all water, both in different parts. But none of them really touch the wonderfulness, really, of the Trinity. And it's wonderful, God made us in their image. And we have a clue there on the sort of fullness of that, but still falling short. But tonight, like we said, we're going to look at the character of Jesus. Jesus is part in the Trinity. So let's just pray again quickly, just to ask God to just open these words to us. Father, I just pray right now that you just open our ears and our heart to your word. Like John, just pray, Father, that you just allow us to take away tonight what you have for us through this, Father. That you just open our eyes, renew our wonder of you, and encourage us all, Lord, just to spend more time in your word. Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for all that you've said to us through your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll just give me the words to say tonight, Father. Thank you. Amen. So where do you start? Where do you start? We're so close to Christmas. It feels like I need to start with one of Jesus's many names, and that being Emmanuel, which means obviously God with us. And we we find that in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, I'm sorry, there is no scripture slide tonight. If you're looking for them, if you grab your Bible, I'll try and give you plenty of notice, but there's quite a few scriptures, but there you go. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they should call his name Emmanuel. And to me, this is encompasses Jesus is part of the Trinity. We have God, God with us. We have God coming down, reaching down, and blessing us with Jesus on earth. God with it on earth, that he could share and teach us about the Father and point to the Father. And that's what we have. So that's what we're going to go through tonight, just some of the scriptures. So I want to start with John 3:16. It seems the most adequate one to explain why the Father allowed us to have, to send his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. So God loved us. No, he allowed his Son to come down because he loved us. He loved the world. That's everybody. It's the savior of the world. It's the reason he came, to fulfill the love story he set out for us, to repair what mankind had broken when sin came in, to be a payment of that sin. Now, of course, the character, love is the character of all parts of the Trinity, and we'll see that, you know, God is love, and ultimately Jesus is love, the Father is love, and the Spirit is love, and we see that characteristic through all of them. But Jesus, who became man, fulfilled that promise made at the beginning in the garden where all the curses were laid out. The Messiah that would come and break that curse, even pay for the curse, to be taken upon himself, that in him we could be free. And we see in Philippians, what the scriptures just Katie just read from Philippians 2, it was 5 to 11, but I'm just going to read 5 to 9. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in every name... let's finish it. Every knee shall bow, and those in heaven, and those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah. Jesus existed before he was born. Before he was born on this earth, you know, Jesus is God. Yet he humbled himself and became obedient to that point of death, to that point where his life was given for ours, even right to the end. Becoming a man so that he could die and pay for mankind's sins. And first there was the Father. I can't read my own typing. How weird is that? Some believe that, you know, the Father came, then he went, then Jesus arrived, and Jesus left, and then the Holy Spirit came. But this is not true, and they're all working together for eternity. You know, they're all here, still together and still working for us and for the people. You know, for whatever, and we are made in their image, and likewise we have a body, a soul, and God's Spirit. The Trinity is a sign of strength and completeness, that triangle that they have. He's made in us. And that's what holds us together. Without that, we just fall flat. You know, without that, with those three items, the body, soul, and God's Spirit, we're just flatline, really, flatline. And even... we know that he is love and he's obedient. We just read in that scripture in Philippians, and he was obedient to the point of death. Even though he knew what was to come, he still went to the cross, obedient to the Father that sent him. And we see in 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Better obey than make these sacrifices, and it's better to listen than the fat of rams. There's two characteristics that he imputes to us, that he commands us: love God and love your neighbours. We have this. We have the Father showing Jesus his characteristics, and Jesus living out them characteristics, and him passing them again onto us, onto his church. And again, us fulfilling those characteristics. We said John 15:12-16. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than it, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. Or whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So Jesus commands us to love and obey. And we have that obeying actually in fulfilling what he's asked us to do. Obedience and love. So what other characteristics do we see? And the first one that came to my mind that I wanted to put down is his compassion. He's compassionate. And that's an aspect of love, and all of these characteristics are an aspect of love. But the compassion that he had for people. We see that the compassion that the Father has for the Son, and now we have the compassion that Jesus has for us. We read in all Jesus' ministry, his compassion for the people that he met. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, we see in Matthew 20. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed the sick. See that in Matthew 14. In Matthew 6, we see, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them. Again and again, we see Jesus's compassion mentioned. We see in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We see this word tender-hearted in some versions, pitiful. And that has a meaning of strong bowels. It's a lovely, lovely word, strong bowels. the physical affects the spiritual. When we have this concern, this compassion for something that's going on for someone or something that we need to maybe pray about, or that God's placed in us, the Spirit has, in a sense, ruffled us and wanted us to make us concerned about something. We still have these sayings today that we use to do with, like, our inners. We talk about a bosom pal, or having the guts to do something, or having loving someone with all your heart, having butterflies in your stomach. You know, we still have these terms of endearment and related to our innerness, our deepest innerness. And you know, that's where this comes from, these words. And we see Jesus, when he has these compassions for people, he has this, is coming up, this deep feeling from within him that he needs to help. And obviously he's passed that through his Spirit into us, into his church. We see Mark 41, we see Jesus moved with compassion when he touched the leper. And again, we are, let's say, called for this compassion, called to blessing. We see that in Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted and be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling or sort of reveling or reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Know that you were called to this and that you may inherit the blessing. And we have this blessing from loving somebody, from having compassion on something. And we see a lot of injustice. We see a lot of people that want to pull away Christians from the truth. We see it in some churches as well. But you know, we have this compassion and a calling to look out for everybody. Next one on the list is Jesus's honesty. Jesus never lied. Likewise, God never lies, and always said things plainly. He changed his wordings to reflect on who he was talking to try and bring those things into the whoever he was talking to. He was talking to a farmer, he'd use farming things, fishermen, fishing things. And he always said things plainly, but in truth. When the young rich ruler came and asked Jesus how he could get to heaven, Jesus told him ultimately to sell everything and give it to the poor and follow me. We don't know whether this young gent actually did what Jesus said. He went away very down, very sad. And we may sort of question Jesus's motives there. Why did you do that, Lord? You know, wouldn't it have been better to say something nice to him so he could come back tomorrow so you could talk to him again? Or, Jesus, why didn't you tell him to start giving some of his wealth to charity and then maybe we'll push for a little bit more next time? Or, Jesus, why did you not tell him the blessing you will get in heaven once you start giving here on the earth? Or Jesus, why not tell him how much life gets better once you start following you? Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be nice when we're talking to people. But sometimes it's the hard truths that speak to a person's heart. And we shouldn't be trying to bring people in with a false idea of what church is like. For them to only realise later on that maybe they've been tricked and it's not what they thought it was going to be. Funny enough, life doesn't get better when you become a Christian. In fact, sometimes it gets more harder. And we have all the same trials as a non-Christian, but we suffer because we are different. And Jesus warned us of this. They'll hate you because they hate me. Jesus said, it's a tough, narrow road. Take up your cross and follow me. It's a hard life. But it's a right life. And it's one that leads to eternity. It's one that leads to Jesus's love and compassion. And it's one that we can share with other people. But it's direct. You know, Jesus told that young rich ruler the direct route. And what was holding him back. Jesus was honest about life after death. He gave us the descriptions we have of hell. In Mark 9:43, it says, where the fire never goes out. And Matthew 13:42, throw them into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 10:28. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus was honest about life after death. He just laid it on the line. He just said, you know, this is true. This is what will happen. You either one direction or the other. I think this sort of spoke to me from ages doing the youth club and thinking how we could build numbers up, how we can encourage more to come, how we could encourage the ones that come to youth club that haven't made a commitment, that don't come to church, to come to church. You know, I thought, well, if we get them enjoying it, if we talk about nice things, plain things, not be too heavy, all they need to do is come along and hear the word and they'll be hooked. And of course, that's not necessarily the way. That's not necessarily maybe my fear. That was what I thought was the necessity. But each needs just to hear the truth and then work it out for themselves. And that's the most we can do is just tell people the truth. Jesus spoke the truth and so should we. In love, like Jesus did. Jesus is God in the form of man and has been through the trials that we have. It's interesting, Sim did a song this morning from Newsboys, which is a fantastic song and worth a listen. If everybody, if you want to hear it, put on Lost the Plot by Newsboys. It's amazing. But the one that came to mind going through this, it was a Petra song, He's Been in My Shoes. It's one of those tracks that I played over and over and over and over again. And it just really, really sort of spoke to me. Jesus came, he'd been in our shoes. I just want to read some of the lyrics. He says, he's been in my shoes. He's been down that road before. He's been tested too, and he's been through that door. He feels the pain and he heals the bruise. He's been in my shoes. Jesus is the visible part of the Trinity. One who came down to live like we live, to eat like we eat, sleep, feel the pain that we feel, and weep like we weep. he grew up as a child and he became a man and all that entails. And he understands how hard life is. He's our representative to the Father. He understands when we pray to him because he's been there. He's been through the devil testing him. He's been through seeing the loss of people. He's been through seeing, you know, having friends. And we see through reading the scriptures of his feelings he had deep inside him that these things were going on. He shared them with us. Jesus, we see in John 17, he's coming to on the cross and he's praying to the Father. We see him lay down why he came and what he did. And we see him pray first to the Father, then for his disciples, then for the for us, really, for his the disciples that came from that. And I'd like to just to go through that. I mean, that's John 17. And he says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you give me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. It's a wonderful beginning of this prayer. Praying to the Father, saying, you know, thank you, you know, Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. You know, I've come and, you know, to glorify me now with yourself and the glory that I had with you before the world was. To reunite that part where Jesus came from before he was born, to go back there as this Redeemer. And we see this glory pass over. You know, the Father glorifies Jesus in this situation, and likewise through what Jesus is doing, he's then glorifying the Father. How did Jesus glorify the Father? By demonstrating the will of God in preaching, in teaching, in healing, and in holy living. Jesus displayed the character of God in the form of man, and in fulfilling God's plan, glorified the Father. It's the same for us. We don't have glory, but when we represent God in his name, we glorify him. When we teach, when we heal, when we live a holy life, then we glorify God in the things that we do. When we love, when we pray, and when we share Christ, we glorify God in the things we do. And that work was about to be completed, the work of redemption, and in that very time, the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the scriptures. Jesus prays then for his disciples, and we see that from verse 6 onwards. I have manifested your name to the men who you have given me out of this of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they kept your word. And now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keeping through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me in the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So we have this wonderful, again, prayer about the disciples. Now, the Lord, you've given them me, you know, and I've taught them what you wanted me to teach them. I've led them. I've given them your name, you know, and I've fulfilled what you've sent me to do. Now he goes on to pray for all believers, which obviously including us. And he says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And I in them, and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Again, you know, Jesus saying before he was born, he was there, the foundation, he was the creator. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I've declared to them your name, and will declare that love which you loved may be in them, and I in them. So here we have Jesus' prayer, a beautiful prayer, absolutely beautiful prayer of why he came and what he did. His part of the Trinity is our visual aspect. It's the man that we can represent to, the man God who we can represent to on this planet. The one that was going to portray God the Father, to show his love, to show the promises he keeps, to show that there's a way this relationship can be with God's people. And that's why he sent Jesus to fulfill, to teach us of that and to fulfill it, that he could take us back with him. He could give us God's name and take us back to be with him. There's so many more aspects that we could go through of Jesus's life and character, but those to me are the ones that speak to me. His love, his compassion, his honesty, and that those things that he's imparted to his church to continue and to fulfill till he comes again. I hope it speaks to you like it's spoken to me. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so grateful that you came. And Lord, as we go into this or next couple of weeks, as we think about you know, you coming and being born. Lord, we know obviously that it's not the right time of year, but Lord, this is the time we choose to think about you coming to this earth. But Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son, that he could come and fulfill your law, fulfill your scripture, teach us the way that you'd like us to be, to give us an example, a physical example of a man that can fulfill those things that you've given him to do, and take on the pain that he did to rescue us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I do pray that you just speak to us in the upcoming weeks, Lord, of what you've done, and remind us of how you want us to be. Remind us of your power and might, Lord, of the things that you fulfilled through Jesus and that you want to fulfill through us, continuing on what Jesus has taught, to follow in his footsteps and to rely wholly on you. Father, we thank you that Jesus is alive. We thank you that he's sat with you. And Lord, we thank you for blessing us, Lord, with your Spirit, which we're going to hear about next week. And Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for allowing us to understand a bit about you. We thank you that you made us with that ability to, through your Spirit, to understand your word. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, keep us safe this week. Keep us close to you, always drawing towards you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll just, Lord, come soon. And Lord, help us to take as many people as we can with us. I suppose, Lord, that really we are here like you were here to fulfill your Father's promise. Lord, we're here to fulfill your promise. We're here to continue what you've shared with us. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to do that. Help us to look past ourselves, but to other people, to be concerned more with them than ourselves, like you were, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.